are you this morning? Okay. Let me see here. Where's that guy at? Noah. Come here. I am living dangerously. Come on, Noah. Cassandra, we'll get a girl on this. Come here, please. Come on this side, Noah. Okay. Turn this way. Turn this way. Turn your body, look at me. Okay. Let's see how good you are. Describe to us what you see here. Are you sure it's a head? Okay. The back of his head. Is that all you see? Well, keep going.
I see a shirt and his pants.
What color is his hair?
Blonde.
In back? What color is his shirt?
Blue.
Hmm. His pants? They have colors. You don't know your colors? What's he doing?
Moving his feet.
He's what?
He's moving his feet.
Okay. Is that all you see?
I see Colton over the top.
Oh, we don't want to look at Colton. Okay. Or do we? Colton, let's see how smart you are. What do you see?
I see his face.
Don't laugh.
I see his arms, his shoes, and his legs.
Okay. Any colors?
His shirt's blue and his jeans are blue and his shoes are white, blue, gray, and white.
That face, what do you see in that face? What color are the eyes?
Blue.
Has he got any whiskers?
No.
Now he's shaved really close this morning. Okay. Are you a Bic man? Do they still make Bics?
No.
I don't. Okay. What do you see under the shirt?
His white shirt.
T-shirt. Okay. This is very simple. Do they see exactly the same thing? Was it the same person? Okay. Why did she see different than he saw? All right, she's looking from a different angle, a different perspective. Okay. Pretty simple, amen. Thank you. You guys did well. Tell your parents on the way home to get you an ice cream cone. For doing so good. Two people can see the same thing and yet disagree on what they see. Is that not true? Having been in a school situation for over 40 years, I know there's something very, very true. We call it, what do we call it? Slanted news. Because when something takes place in school, whether it's good or bad, one student sees it one way and another one sees it another. If you have more than one child, you know that when something takes place between those two children, that it's neither their fault. For one says it's his fault, the other says no, it's her fault. Is that not true? Because they see it from their perspective. And this is very important for us to understand. There are three basic ways in which people view the world. And we need to understand this. The first way that people view the world, and ought to all view the world, is what we will call theistic. Theistic, when you see that word theism, it's referring to God. Okay? In other words, these see the world as God sees it. I'd put creation in this spot. The other side of that coin is atheistic. The A there means not. So we have theistic that sees it as God sees it. Atheistic are those who see the world solely from what man believes is natural in its content. There's also another one that is not really a big deal in the United States, though it was with the American Indian. Very true with much of the jungle areas of our world. And that is animistic. Might be a term you've heard, maybe it's not. These see the world from a spiritual perspective, but without God. In other words, spirits are regarded as the way to see the world. See? For our thoughts, theistic and atheistic would probably be plenty for us to think about because they are opposing each other. As can be seen, there's quite a difference in each man's thinking. The one who is theistic and the one who is atheistic. If you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I do this with everybody in Sunday school. First of all, I believe young people can listen and can glean. I don't believe we give them a lot of credit. Are they nervous? Are they full of energy? Do they wiggle? Yeah. Stand up here and you find out the adults are worse. I have honestly seen adults call children down and in the same service see them acting worse. Sometimes with the very kids they called down. I'm going to get there. 1 John chapter number 3. We got teenagers in here. We ought to have a sword drill so you can find this for me. 1 John chapter number 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 and notice what it says. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. There is the atheistic point of view. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the Christian who is looking at the future through the eyes of God. See? Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not hath not seen him, neither known him. I find as I look at these six verses, especially the first three, that John, as he's writing this, is seeking to explain to us something, and that is, if we see things as God sees it, it is going to make everything different. Now consider for a moment, if we are to see things as God does, we must know how he looks upon them, do we not? How can we see what God sees and the way God sees it if we don't know what he's looking at or how he sees it? That sounds like double talk, but I hope you followed it. We must know how he sees it. You who have been married a long time, you know that many times you don't even have to talk about something. You can just look at each other and know what the other one's thinking. Is that not true? My wife and I last night went out to eat, and we went to this little hole-in-the-wall restaurant. How many like hole-in-the-wall restaurants? And one of the best ones I ever ate in was down in Costa Rica, and it was a hole in the wall. But we're sitting there, and the table right behind Joe, there was two gals and one guy. And believe me, that guy liked himself. All he could talk about was how great he was and how stupid the women were that hung around him. And I thought, these two girls must be. So they sat there and took it. And it was just amazing to me. I remember at one point, I don't know what he had said. You could hear him. He was a loudmouth. And guys who are stuck on themselves generally want the whole world to know that they're great. And she was eating. She looked up at me with this little look in her eyes. And I know what she was thinking. It'd probably be somewhere in the line of, oh, brother. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so if you and I are going to be able to see it from God's perspective, we must know what God's looking at, basically. And it becomes very important that we understand where God's knowledge comes from and where it's at. We understand that his knowledge is recorded to us in a book called the Bible. And we must come to him and see those things that he sees. And see it in the fashion he sees it in. How are we going to do that outside of the ranks of communication? In order to really know each other, we have to do what? Talk to each other. Young couples who just sit at the table and stare at each other and never say a thing are not going to get to know each other. And after a while, the stare will turn into a glare. And we must what? Have communication. And thus we find the very words of God have been given to communicate to us his thinking. I think we can agree on that, amen? It's to communicate his thoughts to you and to me. And from that we can say, the very words of God are for us to understand. Many Christians today, however, stand in doubt of the exact trustworthiness of the Bible. They're not sure if they can believe it. They have been told so many things. Matter of fact, some study Bibles, when you look at the notes, will cast doubts upon Scripture. And it will make excuses for certain scriptures they do not understand. I can show you a couple places in the famous Scofield Reference Bible that are exactly that. By and large, it's a very good one, but it has its spots. And those kinds of things, I believe, have not helped us. We have professors, we have preachers, that when they speak of the Word of God, and then they might even use the King James and say something like this. This word could be better rendered this way. I've done that in the past, to my shame. In other words, through scholarship, I have come to the conclusion that I know better than what God does. I have a better word than God has for it. Listen, the scriptures you have in your hands, the King James Bible, has been in use for over 400 years. And when somebody comes along and says, well, there's some words that are wrong here, they're saying that all these people in the last 400 years weren't enlightened. Even though there's a period of time in our history called the Great Enlightenment, when thousands were saved. And if you study history of our country, you'll know that that great revival set the course for our nation. That's why we describe our forefathers as being a Christian nation. Therefore, I believe we need to know some things. We need to know the history of the King James and the Greek text. Brother Randy King came and told us a few things there. Brother Doug Stauffer will be here later on to help us to understand that, even to a greater degree. We need to understand the text that is used is very important. There are two main ones, another smaller one, and we need to understand how they came about. We also need to know the difference between, let me give you a couple of terms here that you've heard me say in this pulpit, if you remember it. We need to know the difference between verbal plenary and dynamic equivalence. Simply stated, verbal, in the verbal plenary, verbal means every word. In other words, it means that every word of Scripture is God-given. The idea is that every single word is there because God wanted it there. I believe that with all of my heart. The word plenary means fully authoritative. It's all parts of the Bible are equally authoritative. This includes, by the way, the genealogies and all the parts of the Bible that speak of our divine origins and so forth. If we have not the very words of God, then we can't see things through His eyes. Now, interesting, the other term, dynamic equivalence, is this. The people who believe that, they sit down with the Word of God, with a Greek text, whichever one they want to choose. And by the way, almost every one of them chooses the Westcott-Hort Greek text. And as they sit down and begin to interpret the Word of God, the versions that you see out there, they do so in the manner of divine, not divine, but dynamic equivalence. In other words, they don't believe we have the very words of God, but the thoughts of God. And therefore, when I read it, I get the thought. And for me to convey the thought, guess what will probably change? I've done this a number of times. I remember the last time I was in school setting, and I told one child, would you only sit on this side, the first three, four rows? And I told one child, and you've seen the experiment, I said, gave him some crazy thing to tell the next one. And the first one got it right because I could hear it being whispered. That one then in turn whispered to another one, who in turn whispered to another one, who in turn whispered to another one. And when it went through, those young people, the last one had to get up and tell us what was said. It wasn't anywhere near right. By the way, it's put an application on that. Mom and Dad, when your child comes home from school or anywhere, understand it's not only slanted, but sometimes it's gone through the thought process of several people. And it comes to you. So you have dynamic equivalence, verbal plenary. When we know the mind of God and allow His thinking to direct ours, then we begin to have true understanding and godly wisdom. There's a verse in Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. How are we going to know the mind of God if we don't know what he says? Amen? I take a lot of time with this issue because I can teach a lot of things, but if you don't believe the Bible is true and have a full dedication to its veracity, what I teach means nothing to you. It's not taken seriously. It's not promoted in your life. We've got to get a handle on this, that this book is God's authoritative word. It's his very words. They have been given to us by inspiration. They have been preserved through the years from one language to another. And if we cannot accept that, we are in a world of trouble. When we know the mind of God, allow his thinking to direct ours, then we begin to have this godly wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom. A sister verse, chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding and instruction. And so just like these two young people that looked at Colton and told us what they saw, one from one side, one from the other, if you and I are going to get a true perspective of the world, we've got to look through the eyes of God. Now let me ask you this question. Which one probably saw more of Colton than the other? Did I hear Noah? Why do you say that? Because he was closest? That's a very good point, but it's not what I was thinking. That might be a better point than I have. Yes? What? Yeah, well, they probably all did. I want a description of right where they were at. Did you say something, Dean? So I'm at face value. There's where I'm going, yes? Okay, exactly what I'm putting that one with this one. Okay, that's my mind, though. All right, looked right in the face. What are the eyes described at in the Word of God? Are they not in that which allows us to see the soul of the other person? And normally when we're describing people and really getting a good idea of them, we don't study the back of their head. We might be looking at somebody with dandruff and have a very bad thought about them when they're really pretty interesting people. Okay? And so you and I, we don't need to look at it from the devil's viewpoint or even our own viewpoint. We need to see it from God's. And there is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom are mentioned in those two different verses. When we view the world from God's perspective, we can begin to see creation in a whole different light. We can look at what God has made, realizing he made it. Instead of what man says, that it was by random selection, it came about because something exploded. We have a pyrotechnician in our church. Greg? When you light off a firecracker, have you ever seen anything formed as a result? Everything destroyed. I don't know what possessed him, but one year they decided to put one under a pumpkin. That pumpkin never became pie. But when we look through our own eyes and we'll not look through the eyes of God, we can come up with some pretty crazy thoughts, can we not? Yeah. And rather than seeing this world as that which is God's creation, as God's order, people begin to see it as chaos, and they term this thing evolution. Interesting thoughts. I don't know about you, but perspective becomes very important. One of the things you could do in your family is you can take a lesson like this. You can take a situation that you're involved in. You can even be driving down the road and see something beautiful. And you can talk about a God who made that. In my backyard right now, I'm not sure, but I think we have a colony of I lost the name. They're butterflies, monarchs. Is it monarch? And those little butterflies, they'll be leaving here for long. They're going to Mexico. They're not going to Acapulco. They're going to one area. Actually, in comparison to the whole country, a very small area. And they're all going to meet there for a jamboree. And it's going to be butterflies dancing all over. They do it year after year. Why do they do that? Who told them to do that? There's one explanation, it's called God. Many animals that trek all over the globe actually have a GPS system inside of them. I think it's one of the neatest inventions that we have today in getting around. But we're kind of Johnny-come-lately on this thing. Because animals have been using that kind of thing for years to navigate. But who tells them to go? How do they know the right day? Some of them, it's the same day year after year. How does a salmon get hatched clear up in a mountain stream in Washington or Oregon, go all the way down the Columbia River? And how does he go from fresh water to salt water and then spend 4 years in the ocean to come back to the Columbia River? There's a few others out there, but that's the main one. Swim upstream and come back to the very place of their birth. How do they do that? Why do they do it? God knows those answers. We can do all the so-called scientific studies we want, and we can learn about all those different things they do. But there's only one explanation. Because if the very first one didn't get down the river, they're done. If the very first one got out to the ocean but couldn't find the Columbia River, they're done. Isn't that true? And so we have a great God we can see through his eyes. He's the creator. I just find it fascinating. Stop and think about all the animals and birds that migrate year after year. There's one small bird that starts at the North Pole. I think it's a turn, goes clear down to the South Pole, and he travels nearly 50,000 miles every year. He doesn't do a straight course, he kind of zigzags. How do they do it? How is it some of them, there's certain features that kind of change for a while when they go, and when they get there, it changes back? What if it changed back while they were over the ocean? And it's a bird that falls down into the water, becomes shark meat. And so we look at all these things, and we, how do we do it? We look at it through God's eyes. And that's what we need to see. Sit down with your children, your grandchildren. Sit down together and think about all of those things and look at it through the eyes of God. Become a theistic thinker. Now let me warn you, adults. Most of us were educated atheistic. We couldn't open up the Bible and read it and interpret things from the Word of God. We were told that there was a better way called a scientific method, which, by the way, most of them don't use. And we were told a man must lift himself up. He's got to do it himself. And oftentimes Christians will, even with their children, say this: you got to take care of number one. An atheistic thinker is one who's thinking, I'm number one. But a theistic thinker is one who realizes God is number one. I hope that's clarified. I hope it's simple for you to relay. I hope it's something that we can teach those round about us. Not just our children, but some of your families that come in. And those we get engaged with. And by the way, if you do it with your children, it'd be interesting what happens to their friends. Because this is very important. How do we see this world? How'd you see Noah? How would you describe him? I'm not even going to ask his mother. How would you? It's very important, amen? And we need to convey that. This is not going to happen if we do not believe the authoritative nature of the Word of God. Realizing that every word is true, not doubting it. You may not understand all of it. You may find some passages say, I don't get it. By the way, all I can say is keep at it. God will reveal things to you as you need it. Because we're not able to handle everything at once. But accept it. You say, well, that's a preposterous story. A donkey talking to its owner. By the way, if I was going to make that story up, I'd make it a beautiful, I'd probably go with a beautiful Percheron. But God used a donkey. An animal that's mocked. One is considered lowly, a bearer of burdens. And he talked. He said, well, that's hard to believe that. Not when you have a God that you believe. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your truthfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Help us, oh God, to have perspective that is theistic, that sees things as you see it. Lord, help us to be discerners of that which is atheistic. And throw it from our minds. Lord, that we might let or allow, in fact, just desire the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. Bless as we go into the next hour and the things that we'll be looking at from the word of God. Thank you for your love and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.